Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Podcast in a Tree. Where are we today, Guy?
The inaugural second episode.
Oh, well, this is inaugural.
We are once again in a beautiful Pahutukawa tree, but this time our surrounds are not Grayland Park. We are, in fact, all the way over at Point Chev Beach, or Point Chevalier, as we say in New Zealand.
Chevalier, if you are cool.
That's how we should say it. There's a road in New Zealand called... in Auckland called Jervois Road.
Yes.
And, of course, it's meant to be Jervois. Because in France, you wouldn't be caught dead saying Jervois. You'd humiliate yourself.
They got trees in France.
But in New Zealand, have they got trees in France? Mm. Oh, big time. Yeah, yeah. They got tree
have
fever.
Have you been?
To France?
Yeah.
Yes.
There are definitely trees.
They don't stick out to me as the most prominent memory, but I'm fairly certain.
Okay, he can't be
fairly
sure.
Fairly certain they do. But
he
I'm just saying.
He can't be sure.
In France, they've got trees and they would never say Jervois unless they were mocking us.
I see.
I've got some bark.
That's cool.
Just took it off the branch.
That's very nice. They're not all going to be Pahutukawa trees on the series, but the first two sure were, and maybe the rest of them will be as well.
My life for a different tree.
No, this tree is excellent. If you are getting the audio product and have no visual reference, the situ is unbeatable, I'd be tempted to say. It's a picturesque day. Once again, we've really cracked it with the weather for this inaugural episode.
We're sitting in front of the Western Motorway. Well, actually, we're sitting in front of a beach.
I can't believe you started with the motorway. We're at the beach.
We're at the beach.
Primarily, we're at the beach.
But we're also at the motorway.
Mm. You're in like French beach attire.
Well, this
you've got naval, like blue on white stripes. I mean,
this
is that right?
I bought this in
naval.
Do you know I bought this in Greece?
Oh yeah, it's like the Greek flag.
It is a bit, but Greece don't own blue and white.
True enough.
And I'm wearing a hemp hat, and I'm feeling really good. It's a beautiful day. It's about 22 degrees. Here in Auckland, New Zealand, flanked by my wonderful friend Tim.
We're very close together in this one. Do you know any facts about trees, Guy?
Trees provide the oxygen we breathe.
Nice one. Nice one, brother.
Somehow. I don't know how they do that.
Me neither, man. Photosynthesis? That's a word.
Photosynthesis is...
convert sunlight into energy.
Is that right? Could be.
I shrugged.
Could be right.
Don't know.
Could be wrong.
Unsure. All I know is that it's so nice to be doing this versus what we normally do when we record things
like
podcasts.
Well, what do we normally do? Because some people will be listening to podcasts in a tree and they won't have any reference or understanding of our back catalogue and they'll think, why would I care about two fellas in a tree?
Well, you probably don't, and that's fine, because the thing of it is that Guy and I have a back catalogue of self-harm through podcasting. 7 years we've been going, and the formats are largely around us watching bad movies over and over again, or in our most recent case, watching bad pornographies once a piece, but continually, week after week.
That's right.
Reviewing them, though reviewing is a strong word. Got a beautiful, look at that little sparrow tucking into your food.
My food?
Didn't you have a ginger something in there, in your bag?
Mate, what do you think I got up? You know, you think I came down the last shower? I wouldn't leave a ginger slice out for a sparrow.
Well, what's attracting all these birds?
Maybe a ginger slice crumb.
Oh, okay.
But no, actually, you'll be pleased to hear, I brought the ginger slice with us for my exciting new segment. It's ginger sliced in a tree.
Oh, amazing.
I know.
It looks like a heavy bag you've got there, well, resting on a branch.
This bag is full of all sorts of props, which will also become other categories.
Oh, you got a plate.
A serving plate, and I've bought two. Now, this is homemade ginger slice. We had a barbecue at my house last night, and our friends Jimmy and Kyra came over, and they brought along a lovely kumara sourdough loaf, which we ate all of, mm-hmm. with some salt-free butter. We'd run out of salted butter. I don't know why they make the butter without the salt, Tim. The salt's half the thing.
Yeah, it sure is. We're breaking all the rules in this podcast series, which I enjoy. What do they say? They say, don't go outside. You want to control your audio. Don't eat on the microphone. People hate it.
Or you could do
don't
both.
Don't sit in the sun and don't be by the beach.
So here's
and we say, fuck you guys. We're doing it anyway. Cheers.
Cheers.
Here's to the rebellion. That bloody good.
Yeah, so they made that themselves.
I love that.
Isn't that something? They made it in their house, and they transported it to the house I live in, and then now we're having it in a tree.
I am having you know how you have flashbacks?
I know how I have flashbacks.
Like a memory. Yeah, you understand what a memory is?
I've had a memory.
I'm having a flash forward to me sitting down to edit this and hearing you me just nibble into a microphone.
How does it make you feel in the future?
Disgusting and angry.
How does it make you feel right now?
I can't hear it in any headphones. I'm not wearing any headphones. I'm breaking all the rules.
So you feel really good?
I feel great.
I feel really good too. Do you know, memories are an interesting concept because all of your memories are false. They're just like self-built reconstitutions of things that have happened, but no one remembers your life exactly how you do.
That's true.
You have shared touchstones, but even you and your nearest and dearest, you and your wife, you shared a wedding day, and
yes.
you both probably remember it differently from your respective perspectives.
We probably do.
Why are you smiling as you say that? Well, you've got a mischievous glint in your eye.
One of us drank more than the other one, and I shan't reveal who was who in this situation.
Okay.
But needless to say, our memories probably will be a little bit different for a myriad reasons, but that is a big one. A great day, though, I think we can all agree.
That's right. I was there.
Guy married us.
Me and my bacterial tonsillitis.
Yes. Here's a good story. So Guy was one of our marriage celebrants, he did a fantastic job.
As an aside, can I just say, the segment's finished now, but ginger slice in a tree for me was a huge success.
Yeah, I think you really hit it out of the park with that one. Do we need any ranking or rating or anything of
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely not. Just
leave
the
it
fact
be.
That we did it. Yeah. It was a triumph.
Okay. And so the big day comes. It turns out registering officially to be a wedding, what are they called again?
Celebrant.
A celebrant is kind of hard.
It's a pain in the ass.
So you hadn't had the paperwork in order, but that's all right. We had we had Emma, who
that's right.
had the technical bits and pieces. And then we had Guy to do the friendship bit.
That's
he
right.
He gave a great speech.
It was a huge success, the whole
Said
the whole
lovely
day.
Things.
That's right. And then I plied one of you with alcohol. To jeopardize your memory of your special day. I will not say.
But this is when the story kicks in.
Of course.
Which I think you should tell because it's your story.
Oh, you want the whole story.
The postscript.
That's right.
Well, so I think it's the most entertaining.
I'd seen
bit.
A doctor prior to this and I was slated to leave for a comedy festival the next day. And the doctor said, don't worry, just a bit of a sore throat, nothing to see here, jog on, mate. And I said, it's pretty sore. And he said, who knows more, the guy with the sore throat or me? The GP you're visiting. And I said, probably you. So I went to the wedding. Anyway, I went to the comedy festival the next day and the throat became worse. And the day after that, not only was my throat becoming worse, but I could feel my wisdom teeth coming through. And I went to see a doctor in Brisbane. And the doctor said to me, you have one of the most acute cases of bacterial tonsillitis I've ever seen. You got to start taking these drugs. And I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep at night because I was... Well, I was crook with my mouth, and every day I'd leave the house for 1 hour to go and perform my show, which is an insane thing to do.
I didn't even think you were going to this. I didn't even know all of
know,
this bits
I know.
Of the story.
So anyway, a week passes. I was meant to stay in Australia, go to another festival, but I couldn't handle it. I said, I just want to be with my mum and my dad.
Yeah.
Feel as bad as I've ever felt. My wisdom teeth are exploding. The tonsillitis is on the wane, but still there. And I haven't been consuming enough food or fluid because it hurts to swallow.
Yeah.
And I bought a plane that morning. From Brisbane to Christchurch, and what should happen on the plane? But I have...
a full recovery.
A seizure.
Oh, no.
A seizure during the taxi to take off, and the whole plane has to stop, and they ferried me back to the terminal, and I kept saying, please let me stay on the plane. I just want to go. And they said, the paramedics are here. And I got to ride in an ambulance on the tarmac, and I went. I was taken to a student's hospital. So about 10 different students of medicine at the Brisbane Hospital just observed me.
Wow.
They gave me every brain scan. They said... why, you're as fit as a fiddle. The problem is you couldn't get horizontal, and because you were upright, your body started convulsing, and that's why you had a seizure.
What an incredible mechanism that the body has at its disposal. It says, listen, guy, you need to lie down, and you say, well, I'm on a plane. I simply can't. And the body says, well, watch this.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to intervene.
And it did. And that's the story.
But you came back full health, as I understand.
Well, I like to think I've bounced back.
Yeah.
In fact, I've bounced back to the point that I would like to introduce another of our hit segments here on Podcast in a Tree.
Yes.
And this one's called Drugs in a Tree.
Ah, Drugs in a Tree.
It's the segment where we take drugs in a tree. And because of the type of drugs we're taking today, we've actually had to have some of the drugs before we even got in the tree.
Yes, we did.
What's the drug today, Tim?
The drug today is commonly known as magic mushrooms. The active and chief ingredient that is affecting our brains is psilocybin, a naturally occurring chemical that is in certain kinds of mushrooms. Other kinds of mushrooms will kill you, but some kinds of mushrooms will make you feel fantastic.
Some of them might do both.
Yes, that's also true. So we've got,
do you know the most poisonous mushroom from my memory? And it's the most commonly seen mushroom in children's television shows, cartoons.
I know what it looks like. It's that red one with the white spots.
It's called a toadstool in cartoons, but scientifically it's called the fly agaric. And it's the most deadly mushroom I know.
Wow.
I know.
Why does they keep putting it in children's products?
Beautiful
so...
little mushroom. Because and gnomes live on them.
You would want to sort of ward children away from that rather than celebrate them and convince them that gnomes are inside, you know?
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I'm a smart guy. That's why I have these this magic water. So we've got magic water inside this little container. There's a number of ways you can take magic mushrooms, psilocybin. You can just eat them, usually dry them so that they keep and they sort of concentrate, I think, a little bit.
Mm.
You can make a lovely little tea, which tastes a bit earthy.
Lovely.
And that's effectively what I did with this. I put a bunch sort of... chop them up a little bit, put them in boiling water, and they've been just stewing away in here for about 3 weeks. So the potency is unknowable. But I didn't drink very much before, and I reckon I can feel a little...
Well, the thing is, Tim, I didn't drink too much before either, and I feel fantastic.
Mm.
How much of that is the tree? How much of that is my natural disposition? How much of that is the company? And how much of that is the psilocybin?
Psilocybin. There we go.
That I've ingested into my body.
How much have you done magic mushrooms much before, Guy?
I've had a pretty good time on magic mushrooms a handful of times, and I think, I don't even think I've had a bad time on mushrooms.
That's good. It can go curly, sideways. If anyone's watching and they're a little bit curious, I'd say do your research. Read up a little bit. And, yeah.
Great book by a man named Michael Pollan.
Oh, my goodness.
How to Change Your Mind.
Oh, what a book.
You put me onto that.
Fuck, it was good.
He's a great author. He's more famously, I think, the author of The Omnivore's Dilemma.
That sounds familiar. Was that a book about him finding out about food and how it gets to us?
Yeah. It's written from the perspective of an omnivore, and it's sort of about a dilemma.
I see.
If I was to provide a synopsis, that's what I would do.
A narrative book from the perspective of an omnivore about a problem. The omnivore's issues.
The omnivore's, yeah, that was the first working
dilemma.
Title, but they fixed it.
That's very good. The How to Change Your Mind book is a hard recommend for me as well. It does make, I tell you what, it makes being suspended above the ground ever so slightly perilous.
Well, this is an interesting tree in that the access point is you walk out onto the tree, but the tree's roots are planted so firmly in an embankment that the actual branches on which we sit overhang. I wouldn't call it too sheer of a drop, but we're probably...
It's a bit of,
two,
it's a, bit of a drop.
2 metres, 2.5 metres above the ground. And if we were to fall...
You'd clip yourself.
Well, yeah, it would be you would damage yourself at your own peril. But I mean, this is.
I'm just not going to focus on that.
Isn't it interesting the idea that this tree's growing out of there, directly in front of us, not beneath us, as you so traditionally associate with trees?
The whole situation's quite skew if because it has. It's grown horizontally out.
It's a horry tree.
The trees I'm used to go vert, they're verties. This is a horry.
That's correct.
Maybe we should put that at the end of the name of this Pohutukawa. It's a Pohutukawa Hori.
Yeah.
To indicate
certainly
what's going on.
The options available. We would then. Does that mean that we'd have to start calling the other ones Pohutukawa Verts?
Thus concludes Drugs in a Tree.
Well, that means it's time for our most exciting segment so far.
This is a very exciting segment. I can't remember what it is.
Well, while the podcast might be in the tree, that's not to say that everything about the podcast is contained in the tree. And we're very excited. This is our first guest we've had on the podcast so far for our exciting new segment, Guest on the Ground.
Welcome, Angela Dravid.
Hello.
Hi, Angela.
Hello. I was in Brisbane with you, Guy.
I know, I was living with you.
Yeah.
How was I?
You were in your bed most of the time.
I was quite poorly.
Yeah, you were quite sick.
Did you worry about me or were you concerned with your own things?
Well, while you were having that, I was meeting my half-brother and sister for the first time.
Wow.
So we were both going through our own dilemmas.
There you go. This is what I'm talking about with memories, because I don't remember anything about you being reunited with your long-lost family members
in
Brisbane.
No, I felt like it was, like, not a priority.
Hey, Angela, would you like some sunglasses?
I'm okay. I'm facing
this
way.
Sure? You're all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, tell me about that experience for you, meeting new members. Well, I guess they weren't new members of your family. Well, meeting members of your family for the first time.
My mum had told me about two children she had before me, but they were taken by their dad. And I'd known about them my whole life, but I'd never met them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got an email, or sorry, a message on my Facebook just saying, I think I'm your half-sister, and I heard you're coming to Brisbane. It would be great to meet you.
Far out.
And then they came to, my brother and sister came to the show, and it was weird because she looked exactly like my mum.
Oh, wow.
And
that's also an incredibly revelatory way for you to introduce yourself to these new family members, because that show was deeply personal.
That show was, yeah, a lot of sex, prison, and yeah.
A lot of sex, prison, and
Angela
Dravid
story.
Yeah,
not in the same place. I didn't have sex in prison. Oh.
I really couldn't imagine much more of a high-stakes scenario than a comedy show to be one of the early.
You can just say I made it up at the end, I guess.
What was that? Sorry?
At the end of the show, if you were embarrassed by what you said, you just say it was all a trick.
It was all a dream.
Of course.
Yeah.
It was performance. It was a lie.
Did you ever use that ending in a short story as a child when you wrote it for
totally.
English?
I thought that I really nailed it every time. Like,
you were like, I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
And it's still set in reality.
I can take it away.
Yeah.
Angela, how is it going on the ground? We're obviously up in the tree, but we'd love to get a report on how things are down there.
There were a couple of kids that saw me holding a mic, and they walked away.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What did they look like when they saw you with the mic?
They saw me gingerly walk towards me, like a ginger slice.
Yeah.
And, you know, nice. Good callback.
Oh, God.
And is it nice down there?
Yes, it is nice. It's full of shells, though. Yeah, I don't like the beach that much for when it's got all these shells on it, because you kind of walk as if, you know, you're trying to steal something.
That's how you think thieves walk? Very sort of unsure and light on their feet?
Absolutely know what you're talking about.
You do the creep thing as well with the hands.
It's the same thing you do with your body when you're trying not to make a peep or
the creak
step
and
on
the
a
plywood.
Squeaky floorboard.
Yeah,
exactly. This is what you do when you're trying to... You understand what we're saying, Guy.
I do. I actually watched a movie quite recently where the foe of the protagonist...
I just heard something. I thought it was the loudest bird I've ever heard, but it was a baby. Sorry.
Well, in many ways, children are the loudest birds. People.
Especially, yeah.
I interrupted you, Guy.
No. I was just saying that the foe was an invisible man. The movie's called The Invisible Man, and the foe is this invisible man. And I was thinking, because it was a lot of the scenes were taking place in these very beautiful homes without a creaky floorboard in sight. And I thought, and that's why you always keep one or two creaky floorboards in your house.
Or a bunch of shells.
Yeah, or a bunch of shells. But those are
lots of furniture with sharp corners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so one of the challenges, though, was that the one of the settings was the home of the woman and the invisible man, so he would have known every floorboard.
Yeah.
So you've got to actually move the creaky floorboards around monthly, just in case an invisible man comes into your house and starts terrorizing you. It looked horrible, by the way.
Have you got any tripwires or anything in the place where you live, Angela, in case something like this happens?
No.
I don't have a single booby trap in my house anywhere. No. But this is really getting
when,
me
when
thinking.
I was young, I had a nightmare about a robber coming into my room. And so I went down to our garage and I took a small metal chain and I started sleeping with the chain under my bed because I was afraid of robbers. But then my mum obviously just have the chain,
okay.
strike the robber if they were looking to cause me harm. I would have been about 12.
Yeah.
And was the metal chain attached to your pocket in your cargo pants?
No, that chain was purely aesthetic. This chain was a genuine bit of chain. And my mum obviously saw it and she never spoke to me about it, but I'd come back from school and the chain would be back in the garage and I'd think, what's going on here? So I'd take the chain and put it back under the bed. And it was sort of this unspoken dance we were doing. We were both relocating the chain, knowing full well who the person responsible for moving it away is, but not really talking about it. Same way I learned about puberty. They left a copy of the book, What's Happening to Me, on a table.
They just left it.
Yeah, and they weren't there, and I sort of walked past it. And I was like, okay, I'll read this. And then I remember seeing a cartoon depiction of an erection.
It's quite a good way to go.
It's like the fairy godmother. Well, not fairy godmother. It's the dentist, the tooth fairy.
Oh, the tooth fairy.
A tooth fairy for puberty. A puberty fairy. I think we're straying into big mouth territory dangerously close now.
What, you think that talking about puberty is big mouth?
No, a puberty fairy.
It's a monster.
Hormone monsters.
Yeah, hormone monsters.
We've got all sorts of things now.
Should we give them a plug? Should we help them out?
I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm not into it.
Avoid it if you can.
I think that's a great way to engage with conversations you don't want to be a part of. Just sort of leave things lying around. If you've got an employee that you need to fire, just sort of leave the pink slip on their desk. Don't engage too much. If you've got to break up with someone.
It's passive aggressive.
Here's a fun one. What's the best way to break up with someone, do you think?
Oh, the best way? Hold a party. And like put some memories on a slideshow and say
it's fucking good. Like a goodbye party for
like
them.
Yeah, like a goodbye party.
They don't.
Do they know? They don't know.
They don't know. Maybe have a wake
for the relationship.
For them or the relationship.
Or the relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
And then all your stuff together in a pole.
I feel like we should do that anyway. We should have like funerals for relationships when they end.
Well, you grieve it. So
you do.
You should have some.
But
sort
we
have
always
your friends around.
Not traditionally, but people grieve them independently.
My ex deported me from the country. I think that's probably the best way to.
Yeah, I'd say that's the best way to break
tough
up
to
with
argue
someone.
With. Not available to everyone.
I mean, it's a.
It's quite a lot of trouble to go to.
It's a line pregnant with questions, Angela. Where were you at the time?
I was in the UK. He reported me as an illegal immigrant.
Were you an illegal immigrant?
Well, my application was in the Home Office, and it wasn't my fault that my passport, like, expired while it was in the Home Office.
Yeah, damn right.
Yeah.
If those pencil pushers had to speed things up a bit,
yeah,
your partner wouldn't
digital.
Have had a leg to stand on.
Those meddling bureaucrats.
You'd still be in Britain. Did you have a good time there?
I don't know. I realised that if he didn't deport me, I wouldn't have gotten into comedy.
Yeah. So in a way.
In that respect.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'd prefer having a.
I went too far.
No, you're right, mate.
With the thank you.
No. Hey, believe in yourself.
No, thank you is fine. I did say thank you to him when he...
Did you really?
Well, he said, I'm sorry. And I was like, oh, you've got nothing to be sorry for.
That sounds...
Thank you.
Considering the surrounding circumstance, that sounds unbelievably amicable.
It's really generous of you, I think, Angela.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey, forget it. No hard feelings about the whole deportation
Can
thing.
I ask you this, Angela? What's your history with trees?
Trees.
Talking trees with Angela Draper.
Trees. I actually like plants a lot, not so much trees.
Yeah.
Well, can I just blow your mind for a second?
Oh, bonsai. I like bonsai.
What if I told you a tree is a plant?
How about that?
Oh, yeah. So did you know that a banana tree isn't a tree? It's a herb.
Banana?
Yeah.
The banana tree is a herb.
It's a herb. It's considered a herb.
What? My mind is officially blown.
Well, because it doesn't have all the parts that a tree would have.
What does a tree need to have to be a tree? Roots?
I was in, I did Splendor in the Grass and I was like in the car with the science group and they were talking about bananas and someone said, oh, you know, it's not a tree. And I phased out at that point.
Fair
but
enough.
You retained enough.
I retained enough.
You got the juice. You got the big bit.
Did you climb trees or herbs as a child?
No, I did get high with herbs.
Did you?
No.
Smoke a bit of
I have smoked
rosemary.
A little bit. Oh, do you call it rosemary?
No, what? No. Tim was speaking about actual rosemary, and I think you were talking about the herb
marijuana.
Weed.
Yeah.
Have you smoked that before?
Yeah.
How
I
was
had to
it?
Cancel two gigs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Two?
Were they on the same night?
Or? They were on the same night. One was talking about happy families. It was a podcast. And the other one was my first pro gig at the Classic.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Did you enjoy
well, I had edibles as well, so I was just completely melted into my mattress.
Did you enjoy being high?
Yeah, I did. I found out I was high because I laughed for like 20 minutes and then my cheeks hurt and I couldn't stop. And I just went into my flatmate's room and said, I think I'm high.
It's really
and
nice.
What did your flatmates say?
They were like, just ride it. Just ride it.
Hell yeah.
Great advice.
I'm glad that you had the presence of mind to cancel your obligations, though.
Yeah, well, I had to call. I called Paul Douglas. I was like, Paul, what do I do? He's like, give me your gigs.
And did he take the gigs?
He did take the gigs.
Good on him.
Yeah. I reckon he wouldn't have phrased it like that. Paul's a lovely fellow. He would have been like, I'm going to help you out.
Give me your gigs.
Give me your gigs. You're too high.
Yeah, Paul was a good guy.
Do you know if he did well at the shows or did he purposefully tank it on the off chance that people would remember Angela was supposed to be on the shows?
No, I think Paul would have smashed it. Yeah. I have seen Paul smashed and do a gig as well.
Yeah, I've seen him perform high.
He was on the floor doing something weird. He nearly fell off the stage and he's still killed.
Yeah. Wow. He's unstoppable. Much like yourself on a stage, Angela. I've seen you absolutely destroy in all kinds of environments.
Ah, thank you.
Quiet rooms, big full rooms.
I don't destroy in quiet rooms. They just get worse.
I've never seen you do well on a gig.
That's how Guy and I are different. We've got differences like that.
Well, that you did say that you guys will remember the same event differently.
So. That's right. I guess the
guy's an asshole, so it colours his perception of other people's performance in a different way.
The theme of this episode is memory,
or differences.
Yeah.
Well, but memory is inherently different. So
yeah, it's all about perspective as well. I'm on the ground, you're up in the trees.
That's right. How does it
feel? Very hierarchical now that we're doing it.
How does it feel being guest on the ground?
I don't know. Have you ever sat on the ground and watched a bird's nest?
Yeah.
It's like that.
But I couldn't understand the birds.
I guess you don't talk to the birds.
No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you guys ever go to the pond and then see a family of ducks and then make up their story and stuff?
Not recently, but I feel like that's something I might have engaged in as a kid. Do you still do this now?
Well, when I was in the bail hostel, like, one of the girls I used to live with wanted to drink, and so she'd get vodka, and he would sit by the pond, and she'd just make up this story about ducks.
Was it interesting?
No, it was just like, oh, there's the mama duck and the babe.
It's still creative, you know, invention.
Yeah, but it's also, it is just someone hammering vodka describing ducks.
Well, can you describe as well what a bail hostel is for those who are uninitiated?
It's uninitiated. I think most of us would be. It's I imagine it being like boarding school. There's like 20 bedrooms in this massive house and everyone in there was in some some part of the criminal justice system. Either they were getting sentenced, so they were on bail awaiting sentencing, or they had been sentenced to stay there as part of their conditions. Yeah.
I like that there was some storytelling going on in that kind of an environment.
Well, I mean...
With the ducks, I mean.
Yeah, maybe it was like... Maybe that was counselling for her. I don't know.
You got to spend the time somehow. I wouldn't mind whiling away the hours.
We only had 5 hours a day that we could go out.
How many?
5 hours a day.
It's not bad.
It sounds not bad, but you had an hour in the morning, then you had 2 hours for lunch, 2 hours for dinner, and an hour after dinner.
How would you rate the overall experience at Bail Hostel?
Out of 10.
Out of 10. While on bail, like maybe 4 out of, I don't know, 6 out of 10. And then when I was sentenced there, maybe 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10 after sentencing, it went up a point.
What would the sort of 3-sentence Yelp review be?
3-sentence. Was there in its heyday, solid stay, wouldn't go back.
Thank you very much, Angela Dravid. And thus concludes our brand new segment, Guest on the Ground. Thanks, Angela.
Yeah, thank you.
Now it's time for another segment that I can't remember what we've done.
Well, we've got two more segments to get through. Mm-hmm. One of them neither of us prepared for, and it's a shame that we've just expelled Angela from the podcast because it's one that she might be good at. It's called poetry.
Well, we did establish in the last episode that we opened the doors.
That's right.
To the segments, but what I did just then did feel quite concluding.
It did feel final. It's a real shame because Angela's a brilliant mind, and I'm sure she'd be so good at this segment. But
everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Our special guest, Angela Dravid, for poetry.
Hi, Angela.
Hello.
How are you going? How was that?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I needed a break. And
you feel recharged?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you got either any poems you remember or any improvised poetry you'd like to deliver about?
Improvised poetry. So you guys actually just talk poetry in a tree.
We make up a poem, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
We've never done the segment before. We could all make up a poem as a trio, actually. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be a treat.
It's very good. Should we do a line?
Maybe we shouldn't have brought Angela back on.
Oh, come on now. A bit of wordplay, getting into the poetry. I think it's apt. Should we do, a line each? Swing it round.
Yeah,
once was a man who lived in a tree.
Oh,
it's a limerick, he said.
he eventually moved out. The end.
What an incredible poem. Structurally very interesting. The language in it felt purposeful, but it didn't have what I would call confidence. The poem didn't possess a lot of confidence.
Well, can we remember it? So there once was a man who lived in a tree. Mm. Oh, it's a limerick, he said. He eventually moved out. The end. Yes. It's not the worst poem I've ever heard.
It's
Angela loves it.
It's like life. You go in with a plan. Plan doesn't work out, you move on.
Yeah, yeah. Life's what happens while you're busy making plans. Well, thank you so much to Angela Dravid.
Is that the entirety of poetry?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Angela. Goodbye.
I'm getting pins and needles in my butt. I'd also like to say, I know that the segment's technically finished, but with reference to drugs on a tree, I'm starting to feel a little bit better even than I was earlier.
Oh, fantastic. Well, then it's time to talk about our sponsor of today's episode, The Sky.
Okay.
The Sky has brought us this episode because in a lot of ways The Sky brings us everything when you think about it. Brings us trees, brings us podcasts, it brought us.
The Sky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to say if you want a discount on The Sky's upcoming holiday deal, just use our code PODTREE50 to get half price. At The Sky.
This is a bad... Other nature products will refuse to advertise with us.
I'm just one man trying to
advertise The Sky.
Trying to complete our sponsorship obligations.
With respect to The Sky bringing us podcasts, I guess because satellite technology occurs in or above the sky, mm-hmm. It is technically responsible for so much of how we live today.
Yeah.
Food for thought. It's now time for our closing segment, and this is, of course, the Tree to Board. This is where we name and rank the trees. Mm. It's a real shame we've kicked her off because it would be really nice to get her take on this. So please welcome back to the podcast, Angela Dravid. Hiya, Angela. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good. I haven't left. I'm just.
We're really missing you just before.
I've
brought
I was going
to say, you should dedicate it to the ground as well. It's not all about the sky.
The ground I am fearful of right now, so I don't want to do any sponsorship shout-outs because the whole time I've been up here, I felt like, you know when you fall asleep and you feel like you're falling and then you wake up? I felt like the beginning of that for this entire time, like I'm just about to lean back and absolutely nail myself.
Well, I don't like that at all. Now
it's all right, though.
First things first, Angela, you've got an entirely different perspective on this tree because you're, of course, on the ground where we're in the tree.
Yeah, I guess I've been looking at it from the root up.
Yeah, so have you got a name for this tree? You can call it anything.
660.
660 the tree.
Okay. You don't forget your roots.
Really good. The first tree was called Susan for no reason in particular.
Really?
So just so you know, for those of you listening along and don't know the band 660.
No, please don't. I don't want to promote the band.
A very popular band in New Zealand who have a new movie out that I forget the name of.
Well, it might not be new right now, but they did release a movie, they're a band, and New Zealanders love them, and why wouldn't you? So, the rating scale, a tree can score a highest possible score of 24, of course, representative of the hours in the day. The five criteria, out of five we have rest and relaxation, health, natural beauty, and climbability, and then the final four is decided by X Factor. Angela, as you've not driven, I guess climbing a tree is like driving a tree.
Driving your body.
It's you know.
Driving your body up a tree.
So, Tim, I'll get you to do climbability. Out of five, how'd you find this?
Easy as hell. Five.
Five out of five, okay.
Well, hold on. Three.
Because you want it to be a little bit more challenging.
You can't go very far.
Okay, that's great. So, three out of a potential five. Natural beauty. I'm going to throw to you for this one, Angela. You've got a different perspective. How's it looking?
I mean, it's pretty good. I think it's like 10. I think it's naturally beautiful.
10 out of 5?
10 out of 5 for natural beauty. Okay. So we're up to 13.
I'm going to just round down to 5 there, if I may. Health. The health of the tree. It does look a little bare. The Pohutukawa we were in most recently was in full bloom. Those iconic red Christmas flowers abound. A lot less in the way of flora on this tree. Mm-hmm. Which might suggest a slightly less healthy tree. The roots are a little bit more exposed, raggedy. I'm going to give this...
Oh, nibari. The nibari is strong.
What's the nibari?
There's a bonsai term for the root, the root structure.
Are they strong?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to give it a 3, but we're going to upgrade it to a 4.
Heard that word before.
Nibari. 4 for health.
Well, because like bonsai looks at the beauty of damaged trees like that have gone through a lot, and this tree's gone through a lot growing on its side.
I love that.
Yeah, that's really
makes
nice.
Makes me feel really nice about the tree and connected to it.
Give it another point.
I think 660 takes away from its natural beauty.
No, we can't criticize the tree for the name you gave it. You gave it here. So just refresh my memory. Climbability, it got 3. Natural beauty, it got 5. Health, it got 4. Mm-hmm. Rest and relaxation, this is one for you, Tim.
2.
2. Okay, you've not felt rested or relaxed while on the tree. Fair enough as well.
Oh, there's
but
a tree
on
there.
Its side.
Beautiful.
So we're currently on 14 out of 20, and now it's time for the X Factor.
Angela, I've got to throw to you. X Factor on this tree, what do you think?
Well,
it's out of a possible
X
4.
It means whatever you interpret it to mean.
It's like star quality of the tree.
I mean, I think it might be a 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's out of 4, by the way.
Oh, out of 4?
Yeah.
2.
Yeah, smells like a 2 to me.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that makes for a total score of 16 out of 24 for 660 the tree, putting it in second on our tree to board.
There we go.
Obviously, more trees to be climbed, more reviews to be done, and more segments to be had. But for now, I'd like to say thank you so much for listening or watching.
Thank you to Angela Driver for being our first guest.
Angela Driver, thank you.
You were the inaugural guest on the inaugural episode.
That's right.
How about that?
I'd like to thank The Sky.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Psilocybin. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank you, Tim Batt.
I'd like to thank Guy.
The friendly families of Point Shiv, who haven't really given us any grief in spite of the fact we've kind of imposed a podcast on their serene surrounds.
They've been so accommodating. So thank you, Point Chevalier families.
Actually, I'd like to thank Sunscreen as well. I've been wearing a bit of it, and I think it's good.
Shout out, Sunscreen. Shout out.
I wanted to tell you guys because we're at the beach, but yes. My mum's Samoan, and she told me that when the boys are circumcised, that they have to go to the beach and have a swim. That's how they heal.
Angela Drive It, everybody. You can follow her on social media. The links will be in the show notes wherever you're seeing this. God bless. Bye, Angela.
See you. Oh, and Zigga Zig Ah. It means shits in a cigarette.
Shits in a cigarette?
A cigar. Zigga Zig Ah was, there was a guy who was sharing the same studio as Spice Girls who would take a massive shit and smoke a cigar. So they said a Zigga Zig Ah.
So it's a shit that looks like a cigar?
No, it's like you, that's...
You smoke while you're taking your shit?
Well, I think they were just saying that he was such a big boss that he would just take a massive shit and smoke a cigar.
So what I really, really, really want...
is a Zigga Cigar.
So as to have the confidence to smoke while I shit?
No, no. I don't know if he did it at the same time, but this guy was just... He was an asshole, I think, and he was like a top dog. So they were like, I want to be like him.
Huh. That's girl power.
Yeah.
If you've ever heard it.
Angela Dravid, everyone.
Stop saying shit quotes and then saying Angela Dravid.
Angela Dravid, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time in podcast. In a tree?
In a tree. It's not hard, is it?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.